starting up your Tuesday right here on BNA. Appreciate you doing it today and every day, however you find us, whether you're on 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260. If you are out and about, be careful. Some approaching storms into the listening area this morning. Looks like it'll be a little bit of a wet commute for a lot of us, and there are a lot of you. Also, will you find us live, local, and digital on the Horn app and hornfm.com. Listening there, appreciate you doing it. Had a guy text us from Fort Hood, said it's raining in Fort Hood, and I'm assuming he's listening on the app. Appreciate that. Or on hornfm.com. Watching us on the Twitch channel, you can always do that as well. On this 9 of June, or 8 of June, I should say. 8 of June. Don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
No thanks.
National Best Friends Day. National Best Friends Day out there, so... You know, and somebody texted and said, hey, do you guys live with your best friend? And I said, yep, I do. That's good.
Yeah, I do, too. And
see,
my favorite pack meal, too. I live with...
You call your wife, who's your best friend, your favorite pack meal?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not good at keeping relationships long, especially people that are way, way out. Plus, I'm 65, so I just don't have that. My best buddy was my man of honor or whatever that is, and at your wedding and all that stuff. But
your best man.
Yeah, just two.
Women have the maid of honor.
Well, he's my best man of honor.
Best man of honor.
At that time.
That's good. I like it.
At that time of honor, you know, he's the one that got me just about plowed before I went to do the nuptials.
That was his role?
Yeah. Let's have two together. One shot for you, one shot for me.
And how many did that lead to?
It led to only two.
Okay.
And he did a good job keeping me nice and calm that day. So, but I guess I got a lot of best friends.
That's good.
Yeah, I got a lot of best friends.
Well, say hi to him today. It's National Best Friends Day.
Hi, y'all.
Hi, y'all. Hi, y'all.
One of you owe me some cash, probably, too, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
All right, so a lot to...
Speaking of last night, I could have helped out my unit play last night if I could have given everybody the Nets. I could have got out of the trouble that I've in, and I just let that go to slide. How could the Nets, how could that group actually be only favored by like a point? A point in that basketball game at home. I mean, did you see the first game?
Did you really see
the second game? And now going into the third game, they're only going to be like a 3-point underdog in Milwaukee. They'll smoke them again. Right? Nothing's going to change for the Nets.
It doesn't feel like it, but at the same time, Mike Budenholzer, the coach of the Bucks, is going to have to make some adjustments, which he didn't seem to make last night, and they're running circles around him.
Are there any adjustments for the Nets team?
Well, you're playing a playoff game. You can't be down 50. I mean, you really cannot be down 50 points. Is that for real?
Yeah.
For reals? All right. Well, there is some breaking news. There is some breaking news. Let's get to your headlines because the dates and times of the NCAA Super Regional Round have been announced here at 7 o'clock as we've gotten past the 7 o'clock hour. So let's dive in. We told you last hour and we'll reset who the Longhorns will play this weekend. We actually now know when they will play. Let's hit it. UBO Business Services brings you the news. Yeah, Texas baseball. Second-ranked Longhorns know their opponent for this weekend's Austin Super Regional at the Dish. South Florida, the Bulls rallied for a pair of runs in the ninth inning to beat South Alabama 6-4 last night. They win the Gainesville Florida Regional as the 4 seed. That's right, they were the 4 seed when they came in, but they were in the program's first ever trip to the round of 16. Bulls were a below 500 or right at 500 team in the regular season, but have gotten hot late, won the American Athletic Conference tournament to even earn a spot in the field of 64. Then went to Gainesville and went 3-1, included wins over Florida, Miami, and as we mentioned, South Alabama last night. So they'll be rolling in here on a bit of a hot streak, but they're 31-28. Texas, of course, on the other side, 45-15, coming off their dominating three-game sweep of the Austin Regional. And the dates and times of the games have been announced. According to the NCAA this morning, the Longhorns and the Bulls will play a Saturday, Sunday, Monday, if necessary, Super Regional, best of three, June 12th, 8 o'clock first pitch over at UFC Dish Falk Field. Sunday night, June 13th, will be also an 8 o'clock first pitch. And then the if necessary game on June 14th, a Monday, will be either 3 o'clock or 6 o'clock over again at Dish Falk Field. So Saturday night, Sunday night, and Monday afternoon or evening, if necessary, for Texas South Florida. Six other teams also advanced to the Supers yesterday. Stanford advanced from their regional. They're going to head to Lubbock to face Texas Tech in a good one. Top-ranked Arkansas did survive Nebraska, won the Fayetteville regional. They'll now face NC State. Mississippi State won the Starkville region. They're going to host Notre Dame in a good one in the Super. Ole Miss advanced to face Arizona. LSU took down Oregon twice to win the Eugene-Oregon regional. That'll set up a matchup with Tennessee in the round of 16. And up in Fort Worth, break up the Patriots of Dallas Baptist. They rallied for an 8-5 win over Oregon State yesterday to win that regional. They'll advance to their first ever round of 16. They'll face the winner of today's Virginia Old Dominion game. On the women's side, College Softball World Series also set. Top-seeded Oklahoma is going to face 10th-ranked Florida State in a best-of-three for the College World Series. On that side, Major League Baseball, both the Rangers and Astros took last night off. El Paso did beat Round Rock at Del Diamond 4-3 last night. NBA playoffs, as we mentioned, a destruction in Brooklyn where the Nets crushed the Bucks 125-86. They take a commanding 2-0 series lead there. In Phoenix, meanwhile, it was the surging Suns pulling away from Denver to take game one of that series 122-105. Some coaching news. Knicks coach Tom Thibodeau named the NBA's Coach of the Year yesterday. Led the Knicks to their first playoff appearance since 2013. Nick Saban at Alabama. Program announced that they are extending his contract through the 2028 season. And sad news this morning from the NFL with word that former New York Giants head football coach Jim Fossil has passed away at the age of 71.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Yeah, somebody already on the text line saying those are some late starts. That's true. I mean, and the only thing I can think is they're going to play outside the heat here in Austin this weekend. But 8 o'clock, and then possibly 7 o'clock if they play into a game three. So could be all three night contests. If you're a Longhorn fan, you're hoping you don't even worry about the Monday game. Mm-hmm. You take care of business on Saturday and Sunday. But, you know, that'll obviously impact David Pearson, their decision on starting pitching. You now know you won't need a starter until late Saturday night. And for the fans, there's plenty of time to tailgate, Buck, getting ready for 8 o'clock first pitches. Because, you know, this week when they played at 8 o'clock, you didn't know that until, you know, the day of. But here we're going to know a week out that you're going to play at 8 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday nights. So
yeah,
get your tailgating ready.
Yeah, and plenty of it, too. Get your water ready for sure.
You might want to go ahead and just take next Monday off if you're a big Longhorn Occupy Left Field kind of fan.
You could be pretty worn out by then, yes.
Well, because that game on Sunday night, to clinch it, because of all the walks and hit batters and Fairfield's lack of pitching, that game lasted well into the 11 o'clock hour. And so it was a late night at the dish, and looks like there'll be some more this weekend with Texas and South Florida. And somebody suggested that maybe Charlie Strong should throw out the first pitch. Before that?
No.
What do you mean? Charlie Strong was the head coach here in football, then he went to South Florida.
Yeah.
It's the South Florida Regional.
Pass on that. Where's Charlie at? Is he still with Nick Saban?
Nick Saban. No, he's with Jacksonville now. Remember we saw him run the wrestling match?
Oh, that's right. He's with Urban Meyer.
He's with Urban Meyer at Jacksonville. But he could come in and throw out the first pitch. Hey.
Bring it on, I guess.
Those two schools paid him a lot of money.
He did make a lot of cash from those two schools.
He did.
And he made most of it right here in Austin, Texas, USA, America.
Thank you, Steve Patterson.
Yeah, we do appreciate that $25 million offer and gift in kind to Charlie Strong.
And now he's in the NFL. Like Tom Herman, you know, the last two Texas coaches are in the NFL now. Herman is with the Chicago Bears.
And they both collected a smooth $25 million.
We know Charlie did. I'm
not just 1 million, not 2. Not three.
Well, this is the
not
head.
Not four.
Not three. Not four. Not five.
Not five, but 25. $25 million.
Yeah, but I don't know that we've ever gotten the exact buyout terms of Tom Herman's contract and remaining years here. But one day we'll get those. But yeah, Charlie Strong earned every nickel of a guaranteed contract.
He did.
Yeah. And then
and
went to South Florida. And
yeah, whatever.
He didn't last but a minute at South Florida. Like, that didn't last long. And now he's with Jacksonville or on Urban Meyer's staff. With the Jags. So, yes, Texas.
Charlie can coach defense.
Yes, he can.
He really can.
Can he coach in the NFL becomes a question because he's never done that, and now he's going to do it with Urban Meyer in Jacksonville. So, interesting there. But, yeah, it's Austin Super Regional announced. The rest of the regionals announced as well. And as we said, the Dallas Baptist Patriots, I think that's a really cool story. They've been a nice program, really good program the last 10 years. Finally play into a round of 16. I mean, heck, South Florida's a great story. I mean, they were a 4-seed. Remember, we had a 4-seed win the College World Series. Somebody will remind me who that was. Kevin Dunn could certainly rattle it off the top of his head. But there was a 4-seed in a first-round regional that actually won the College World Series. in back in the day, and someone will remind me who that was. But it's not unheard of. I mean, it's certainly not likely. But that's what South Florida is challenged to do now. They were the 4 seed in that Gainesville Regional, went in, beat Florida on Friday last week to put themselves in the winner's bracket, then turned around and beat the Hurricanes of Miami, and then split 2 with South Alabama to get to Austin. So they'll come in here feeling good and feeling like they're not going to be intimidated by Texas. But at the same time, Texas should be the heavy, heavy favorites with them being the number 2 seed overall in this tournament. And this is a group that only got in because they won the American Athletic Conference, tournament, which again tells you they're playing their best baseball at the right time.
Yeah, even though things are falling right into place when it comes to the regional and super regional, and some would say they're lucking in now. They've earned this number 2 seed, and things happen. Stuff happens. They're taking care of their business, and that's what they have to continue to do. This weekend, they got to take care of their business, not anybody else's, but their business. And on Nick Saban, also. I don't think a Specs text line person got Texas in and said, I don't think he'll fulfill the entire contract. I agree with you. That guy's not going to coach for 7 more years. I don't think so. I don't think Nick is going to go far.
That's a fair question.
It's a lifetime contract. When those say, does he have a lifetime? Well, hell yeah, he's got a lifetime contract as long as he wants to stay. I think that's a part of it. Nobody's going to come and sweep Nick Saban out from under Alabama's sweep the rug out from under his feet. He's not going anywhere else to coach. But yeah, that's a lifetime contract. But I don't think he'll go 7-8 more years of coaching. I really don't think he'll do that.
Well, and I think the only explanation is they want to continue to reward him and bump him up in salary. But at the same time, if there is any negative recruiting that can be done against Nick Saban on the recruiting front, it's, well, how long is he going to be there? The guy's 6-7 years old. I mean, what are you going? He's going to retire in the next couple of years. Well, this is a firm, resounding, hey, no, he's under contract till he's 77 years old.
He's in the entertainment business, and
he's not going anywhere.
Actors and actresses that make $50 million, for doing movies and stuff like that. Nick Saban, he doesn't get paid enough at Alabama.
Oh, for what, if he's not open market value, no. For what the value brings to that university, he's making like $8.5 million. He makes about $10 million a year with all the bonuses and everything that comes in. But
he knows what his worth is, and Alabama knows what his worth is, not only to the university, but to the state.
No question. Several people have mentioned on the Specs text line, Fresno State, the Bulldogs, that was a team that won the College Baseball World Series as a 4 seed originally. And Coastal Carolina, remember Coastal Carolina won a College World Series. I don't think they were a 4 seed, though. I think they were a 2 or 3 seed when they got in, but someone will correct me on that for sure. This is college baseball, and you don't take anyone lightly for sure, and I know Texas won't. Real quick, before we get to our coach's corner and hear from head coach David Pierce, can we mention and pay off the B&E fact of the day that we gave you before the top of the hour? I mentioned Chris Paul had a great game last night. His shoulder looked pretty good, 20 points and 10 assists. He actually had 20 and 21 and 11 in a playoff victory. Zay, the last 30 years, only 2 other players have posted a 20-point 10 assist or more game past their 36th birthday. Can you name the other 2?
Oh, man. Stockton played till he was like 40-something.
That's one. John Stockton, old high shorts himself.
After that, Nash?
Yep, Steve Nash. Steve Nash, the current head coach of the Brooklyn Nets.
Who almost said Jason Kidd.
Ooh, that'd be a good one. How about Jason?
Has he ever had 30 points in a game?
Jason Kidd, yeah.
Yeah.
Why Jason Kidd? I read Jason Kidd turned down even an opportunity to interview for the Portland job. Why would he do that?
He felt like it wasn't fair that Dame vouched for him by saying, I want him.
Okay.
He wants a fair shot throughout.
Commendable.
How
about that?
Commendable. I like that. Yeah. And our Coach's Corner brought to you by Audio Visual Consultations, avconsultations.com. Bringing it to you. We appreciate them. And speaking of coaches, can we hear from David Pierce? We're going to talk with our weekly conversation with the skipper later in the week, Thursday, our weekly visit with David Pierce. But yesterday, he was on with Craig Way and Jeff Howe on Light the Tower to talk about the weekend. And Jeff Howe asked Coach about, when you built the roster and met with the team in the fall and then into the spring, as you hit this crescendo at number 2 in the country and just dominating the Austin Regional, is this ball club playing to what you envisioned? Are you playing the style of ball you hoped to be playing when it all got going?
I think it's close. I think you're always trying to perfect different pieces of your team, your lineup, your defense, but I think it's very close. I like the speed with the big speed with Eric and Mike. And then there's good speed that just about everybody can go first to third. Just about everybody can score from second. But I've seen improvement of base runners as well. Ivan did something last night that I wanted him to give me the right answer. Zubi was at second. He makes the turn on a base hit up the middle. And Ivan recognized that Zubi, if a good throw happens to go to home plate, that they've got a chance to get Zubi. So he actually protected by coming to third base, and we gave up an out for a run there because they cut it. Once they cut the ball, there's protection that Zubi is going to be safe. So we gave up an out for a run there. Those types of things, when guys start thinking and being instinctive and seeing the play and processing the information, that's when it really starts getting fun. Because I wouldn't say I haven't spent a lot of time base running in the past. And so now he's becoming a more instinctive player. That's kind of what we're looking for. It happened to be a base running situation last night. But it's interesting when you go through this and with certain teams and, you know, people talk about freshman group and older kids. And then you just start talking about the game of baseball with players and really understanding what to look for, the processing the information before the play, pre-pitch information, and then trusting your instincts to go play. And sometimes we have poor communication on a situation that we have to talk about. I'll give you an example. Cam Williams had kind of a slow roller to him the other day. It wasn't a swing and bunt, but a little harder. But his potential not to be a play at second. And I heard one of our players go 1-1-1 and made a comment to him, it's not your call, because he has to process all that information. What's the speed at the runner at first? What's the speed of the hitter? And can he get that ball in his transfer and throw to second? Is Mitch smart enough to just take the out and not try to force a double play? That's when it starts getting fun. When you start looking at these guys really talking and understanding pre-pitch information and then playing and being adaptable, because the ball will actually change the play. That's when it gets really interesting to watch this team grow.
All right, David Pierce with a long answer, but an interesting one behind the scenes. He knows he's got a talented team, but now they're thinking the game as the game proceeds, and that's when you start priming it, Buck, when you've got all the pieces and the players are actually, you know, self-coaching and thinking along with the coach. That's when special things can happen.
Yeah, when your team is just letting them hang. Just let them hang. Baseball, let them hang. What kind of third base coach is David Pierce?
Pretty aggressive.
I see him over there at third base, and you know, when you think of him as the manager of the team, it's weird when you see a guy at third base. You know what I mean? I know they do that at college. They don't do that in Major League Baseball. Do they do that with Round Rock or some of the head guys?
Not typically.
They don't
Not
do
typically.
That a lot.
I mean,
right?
I'm certain there's a spot out there that I don't know about that is doing it, but no.
So yeah, what is he? I mean, no one's ever said anything. I mean, is he a good third base coach? I mean, that's an important position right there at third base.
It is. He's pretty aggressive too.
Oh, he is.
Okay. But at the same time, we'll jot that down. We'll ask Coach Pierce about that on Thursday. Why he, you know, it's his choice. It's his team, and he likes being out there with his team, and he can talk to players, and you know, he's right there in their ear.
I see him with the helmet on and stuff. Is he playing?
That's a safety measure. They have to wear the helmet.
Okay, so I want to make sure, is he going to be a batter? Or
that's a rule.
All of them have to have a helmet.
Well, that began with the tragic death of Mike Kuhlball.
Absolutely.
Or was it Scott Kuhlball out at Round Rock? He was the first
line
base coach.
Drive.
Took a line
that.
Drive in his head and was killed. And so ever since then...
They all do.
And so if you're going to coach in the box, you're going to wear a helmet. That's just going to be the rule. But... We'll talk to Coach Pierce about that on Thursday, and we'll talk to Coach Pierce about the draw with South Florida, and you know, does the pitching staff go back to Ty Madden game one with Tristan Stevens, or they stick with Tristan? They'll be sorting through those decisions here this week. Someone mentioned about TV. You know, you will be able to hear all the Texas games on the Horn, of course, with Craig and the call and Roger Wallace, but the Austin Super Regional on television, according to the NCAA. The Saturday night game will be on ESPNU. The Sunday night game will be either on ESPN2 or ESPNU, and then the if necessary game on Monday will be on ESPN2 or ESPNU. So,
cool.
There you go.
Longhorn Network at all? When it comes to TV? No, not at all. This is all ESPN.
Not this time. Well, technically, Longhorn Network is ESPN.
Right. Oh, I forgot.
Technically, that's part of the family.
They do get paid.
Yes, but ESPNU. ESPN2 for all, or ESPN2 for all the ball games this weekend for the Longhorns. And college baseball, it's a fun time of year. Thanks to all the contributions on the text line with Fresno State, as those mentions. But as we said, the Dallas Baptist team, that was a cool surprise to see them come out of Fort Worth. Really looking forward to the Lubbock Regional. That'll be Texas Tech and Stanford. Stanford went 3-0. The Cardinal are a young team, but boy, get playing some good baseball right now. That'll be fun out in Lubbock this weekend. And kind of a cool story with LSU. You know, LSU's head coach Paul Maneri announced he's stepping aside when the season's over, but apparently they don't want the season to end because they went to Oregon and won the Eugene region with back-to-back wins over Oregon yesterday. So LSU is still playing. They're going to play in and play in the Knoxville Super Regional against third-ranked Tennessee. So good baseball coming up this weekend. It'll be a lot of fun to check them out. And if you're paying attention to the bracket, Buck, the way this thing lines up now for Texas, because if you can get through this weekend, obviously you're then playing into Omaha, correct? And so at that point, when you get to Omaha, you're going to play in a four-team regional, essentially, in Omaha. There'll be two of those, and then the winners of each region will play, you know, in the College World Series best of three. And so right now, Texas is looking to be on the side of the bracket with Mississippi State, Notre Dame winner, Dallas Baptist, and whoever they face in their super regional, and then the LSU-Tennessee super regional. So those, you know, you're starting to look ahead at which four teams or three other teams you could be matched up against, and looking like, to me, Tennessee, possibly Dallas Baptist. How cool would that be if Dallas Baptist played into the College World Series? They've got to look at it, but they're going to play the winner of today's Virginia Old Dominion game, and then Mississippi State and Notre Dame are the other pair on that side of the bracket.
So. Yeah, as I was following last night, I was just praying that Arkansas would lose that game. Damn, they looked like they were going to lose that game. They had no momentum going into the fifth inning. And then I guess they do what they do. They found a way to win that game because that Nebraska team looked just as fired up, and they had a 2-0 lead going into the fifth inning, and those guys weren't even coming close to hitting that guy on the mound. I thought this would be thought Nebraska would find a way to win that game, but the best team in the nation found their way.
Well, and the way the bracket stands, Texas wouldn't face Arkansas or be able to face Arkansas until the College World Series Championship Series.
How about great would that be?
Yeah, nor Texas Tech, nor Stanford, you know, nor Arizona or Ole Miss. Vanderbilt is on the other side of the bracket. So, you know, Texas, right now you're looking at squarely at South Florida. And then, again, Mississippi State, Notre Dame winner, Dallas Baptist, and that regional's winner, and then Tennessee LSU. Are the teams on your side of the bracket that you would you won't even see anybody else until you get to
almost.
The final? Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. All right, so that's how it's laying out in college baseball. We will talk to David Pierce on Thursday, and we will continue to talk about the top stories of the morning as we get you going. As we said, there's a pretty good little shower moving through here, so be advised this morning as you are up and out as we get you going. Isaiah Collier will have the hot or not topics before the end of this hour. It's B&E with you, live, local, and digital on a Tuesday, streaming on your Horn app and always at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
I was reading this on a Tuesday morning, Buck. This says more than a third of people say they would keep eating food at a restaurant if they found a hair in it. Are you one of those people? Those people?
I don't know. I pull it out, check it out, see where it came from, what I thought about it. I'm not sending it back. Probably not.
I'm with you.
I'll just move along.
Zay?
Hell to the no. I'm sending it back.
Nah.
Give me my money back. I want gift cards for the next year.
Really?
The whole nine.
A hair slips in there somehow, some way, sometime. You know what
it's
I mean?
Like a cockroach or something.
Yeah. I think I can take a hair. It's not like I never had hair in my mouth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's true.
I've had a beard and things like that, so hair is snug in my mouth.
But it's your hair, typically.
Yeah, but, I mean.
And how do you know it's not your hair in the food? Well, it's blonde. Well, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, a third of people say they would keep eating. Hey, you remove the hair, though.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to put it back down and put it next to the salad. No. I'm not going to put it underneath my lettuce. No, no, I'm going to get rid of the hair.
Yeah, okay. Well, weigh in on that.
It wouldn't bother me to say, you know, there was a hair in here, and I, you know, to say to the, whoever was coming over to me, just in case they wanted to give me like a dessert or something like that. You know what I mean? But I'm not going to go crazy. I'm not going to send it back. No, and not Pam's hair.
Yeah, because you reminded us that Pam Cummings, your one-time roommate, was very hairy.
I said a hair, not a bushel. You know what I mean? I don't. There's a difference between a hair and a hair ball.
Remember,
ball,
for Pam, that ball. Was the 70s. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean? I'm talking about hair.
You know what
hair,
I mean?
Not hair balls. You know what I mean? I don't know. That's not what I'm looking for. Not in my food, no. The cook was scratched. Don't canal. You can stop. Here we go.
Well, okay, yeah. let's okay.
That would be
now,
special.
If there's any indication it's a pubic hair,
no,
well, now we've got a real problem. But if it's a hair from someone's head, I'm probably going to move forward, especially if I'm really hungry. But, if it's gross enough, I'm with Zay, man. So, yeah, can I get – but I'm not getting my money back. I still want to eat.
It's kind of hard to tell between a pubic hair and a regular hair sometimes. They all look the same. Hair is hair. And so you're not going to be able to differentiate,
maybe
Zay's
right.
Which is hair. And
deliver it back.
Yeah. I'm going to say to the waiter, I'm going to order the waitress, hey, is this a pubic hair? What am I going to say to you? Did this come from somebody's pubes? I don't think I can say that. I'm not going to ask that question. It's just the hair.
Oh, see.
And I'm not going to gobble it down. I'm just going to throw it away and just move on with my food. I'm not one of those guys that send stuff back. If it's just a little cold, I'll still eat it. The only thing that bothers me is the way meat. Like, I don't do, like, raw meat. If somebody brings me, or a fish that's still, its tail is still flipping on the plate, I'm like, no, man, can you do something with this fish? The tail's still moving.
Yeah.
I just can't do a lot of raw food. I know a lot of people eat their meat raw. They eat their fish raw. That's why I don't deal with sushi and all that stuff.
Very popular.
No, I want
that's your choice. I get you.
Yeah, I want it kind of cooked.
I get you. And if, you know, even if you cook and get a steak, they ask you, how do you want it cooked? And if they don't do it to what you said, then by all means, send it back. You're paying for that bad boy.
Always better to undercook than overcook. You can't do anything once you've overcooked.
There's nothing worse than an overcooked steak, right? You just ruin the steak.
Yeah, you can't do anything about it.
Only worse than that is Patrick Mahomes putting ketchup on it. Like, who the hell does that? Unless you're from...
I don't think I've ever done that.
That's gross.
That is kind of screwy. You shouldn't be putting anything on a steak, I guess.
Not a good one. Not a good one. Kind of like barbecue, right? You shouldn't really need barbecue sauce.
Yeah, if you get a steak from our place out there on Highway 79.
Oh, Louis Miller?
No. Nolan Ryan's steak.
Oh, the good stock.
You get one from there.
You better grill that one.
You better not mess with that right there.
Nolan Ryan's boutique beef outfit there.
By the way, I want to thank them for the Mullet Open for sending us a few coupons.
Awesome.
To grab steaks over there.
It says back hair. What about back hair? Oh, come on, man. Let's end this conversation immediately. But, you can decide where you fall in that survey. 1 in 3 say that they would certainly go ahead and eat it.
You know, summertime, I listened to some summer music this morning, and I wanted to know whatever happened to, if people remember George Benson. This guy was a great guitarist in the day. But I was also listening to some DJ Jazzy Jeff. With Will, that's right.
And the Fresh Prince?
And the Fresh Prince this morning.
Thinking
of summertime music because it's hot. It's summertime now, even though it's
so muggy yesterday.
Yeah, it's terrible out there. But I also played two people that I was always wondering about. Eminem. I know Zay likes Eminem. I think he was underrated as not just a rapper, but, you know, lyric-wise. I know some of it all sounds, sometimes it sounds the same. But this Rihanna lady, there's something about her that Buck digs. I never thought I would because
it's the crazy.
That's what it is. Did I say that, Zay? Didn't I say that?
It's the crazy.
Is it the crazy about her? Because sometimes her body changes, her hair changes, there's something about her face changes. But when she's in like a crazy mood, it is the crazy, right? Because her weight has fluctuated. I've seen her sometimes when she's round shoulder, but not all the way round. You know what I mean? But then I've seen her when she's real, real thin. She's like, there's something about her. She's like an enigma. There's something about her that I like. And it is the crazy, I think. Is she really talented?
Oh, yeah.
Zay? You listen to her music. Is she soon to come out with something? Because does she make something like once every 8 years or something like that?
Yeah, she's one of those. People are losing their mind because she hasn't made an album and I don't know when. Like, people are losing it. They're pissed.
Really?
They're always tweeting her. Like,
really?
Yo, when's this album dropping? What are you doing? So... She's dating A$AP Rocky right now.
Who?
A$AP.
Rocky Balboa?
No. A$AP Rocky, another rapper.
She gets around, too, a little bit, which is good. But she's from just Barbados.
Variety.
Barbados.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what you like about her.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
This is the crazy?
I think it truly is the crazy.
Could be. Could be. Hey, you know, as we talked, Cowboys opening up their mini camp today, their first mini camp. A lot of important things going on for Dallas. New defensive coordinator, draft picks on defense. How about this story involving the Houston Texans? How far they have fallen in the eyes of their fans under the current Cal McNair ownership and the decisions. You know, so there's a columnist for the Houston Chronicle named Jerome Solomon, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he penned a column today down in the Houston Chronicle, and in it he reveals that back in 2011, when he became got a promotion at the Chronicle and got a bit of a pay raise, one of his first things was he put in a deposit down to get on the waiting list for Houston Texans season tickets. So back in 2011, 10 years ago. And when he did that, he was in the 19,000s on the list, the waiting list for Houston Texans tickets, in the 19,000s on the list, okay? That's just, you got to climb that ladder just to have the opportunity to buy tickets. Then back in 2019, of course, when the Texans were a playoff team and had Deshaun Watson and were up 24-0 on the Chiefs in a playoff game, he was up to 16,316. And then earlier, a few weeks ago, he was at 12,734. And then last week, he says that the Texans called and says, it's your turn.
You got to be kidding me.
To which he said, yeah, no thanks.
I wonder what those people are going to be like that. That's one of the greatest places to go to be, you know, when you go to a game and the way people treat you, I've always said that, at the stadium there. What are they going to be like? Are they going to be mad too?
Well, I mean, that would indicate that in the last few weeks that 12,000, I mean, fans have just taken their name off the list, which would also indicate that people are dropping their season tickets pretty quickly now down in Houston because they don't foresee much success coming in future years and they're not happy with the direction of the organization.
It's going to be like the old Astros.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to the games?
Well, I don't know if it's nobody, but, you know, whether there's been on-field success for the Texans, and, you know, we've compared the Cowboys to the Texans, it's been pretty mediocre since the Texans have come online for both. There have been some good seasons, some real bad seasons, it's just, but nothing of huge success for either. But at the same time, the one thing you say about Houston and the Cowboys is they continue to sell out. They continue to sell tickets. Tickets, I mean, you know, since the McNair family brought the team online and they opened what it was, Reliant Stadium, now NRG Stadium. It's packed every week. And, you know, the as we said 10 years ago, there's 20,000 people on a waiting list for season tickets. Now that waiting list is over. And so, yeah, it's going to start to affect the bottom line. I mean, that's the one thing we've always said about Jerry Jones. If you want change and you want him to hire a general manager or a president of football operations that's not his son or him, then stop going to the game, stop buying tickets. But until you do, he's not going to change his ways. In Houston, That is a precipitous drop, obviously, and the thing we won't know, because I don't think the Texans will release it, is how many season ticket holders have bailed out. And yes, when we get to games and there's going to be empty seats and fans aren't going, yeah, you could see a bad situation, because this is not going to be a good football team this year. We know that, and the Deshaun Watson thing is not resolved by any stretch of the imagination. So, yeah, that's one sports writer's view of how quickly the fans in Houston have jumped off the bandwagon.
I mean, that's too bad. I mean, it really is. That was that thing was building some momentum there. And once again, I'm just waiting for the 30 for 30. That's all I'm waiting for.
It is pretty incredible.
I know how bad it's going to be. I mean, this is going to be a bad football team. Real bad to watch.
Real bad. I mean, and yeah, I mean, it wasn't that long ago. 2019, they were in the playoffs, up 24-0 on the eventual Super Bowl champions, and obviously lost by 21, but coughed it up. But the future was bright. I mean, there was a lot to like about the roster, the team, the quarterback. And now, a mere 2 years later, there's not much to like at all.
I know. Dude from Arizona at wide receiver must be going.
Thank gosh. Well, dude, J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins are both in the desert now.
I'm out of here.
And there'll be some excitement in the desert this year because with Kyler Murray and, you know, big year for Cliff Kingsbury, they think they can do something special in the NFC. We'll see. Yeah, Houston, you know, we have a problem.
A lot of problems.
Well, and that's, you know, bottom line business. I mean, you know, Cal McNair is probably the most hated person in Houston right now. He's getting towards Bud Adams levels of ownership hatred down in Houston. Bud Adams was, you know, always.
It'll take you a while to get you run out of the business where you end up selling and somebody else takes over. And that's, I guess it's the family business. Is that what the business is? Or do they have some?
No.
Every owner has something that's going on behind the scenes.
Well, Cal McNair's problem is he's, I don't want to be too rude, but he's the doofus son of a billionaire who inherited the team essentially when Bob McNair passed away.
But they have other businesses besides that team. That team is not what keeps them afloat. He must have, well, dad must have had money other places.
Oh, sure. Yeah, he had an energy company. I mean, he had a lot of things, and that's how you afford to bring a team online in the NFL when he did. But Cal doesn't have that same business acumen, as you can tell. And, you know, he's hired, you know.
You know, when Jerry started, that was the family business. It's still kind of the family business.
Oh, 100%. In Dallas, it is the family business. I mean, yeah. if you just go to DallasCowboys.com and look on, you know, executives. I mean, it's him. It's Jerry. It's his daughter. I mean, it's Jerry, his daughter, Stephen.
I know. There's nobody else's name on
those are the. I mean, it's the family business 100%.
Yeah.
Now, Jerry is owner or part owner of 50 other businesses now.
Right.
But at the same time, that is the family business.
Yeah, it seems like Kyle McNair, he screwed this up, and I can't even imagine him running any other business. He probably screwed that up into the ground, too.
For sure, for sure. Interesting note, the season ticket list is apparently expired down in Houston, and how many fans are just not going to go to games down in Houston this year. All right, we'll come back. When we do, Isaiah Collier will walk us through the hot or not topics of this Tuesday. If you're just jumping in, we'll remind you coming up top of the hour, reset the headlines. The Longhorns now know their opponent for the Super Regional round of the baseball tournament. Also, dates and times of the games this weekend. We'll get you all that coming up, plus hot or not next. Live, local, and digital. Streaming on your Horn app and at hornfm.com.
The Horns text line is brought to you by Specs, your tailgating headquarters with a Texas size selection of lower priced everything. Cheers to savings. What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Oh, man, hot and not. It's going to be hot outside today. There is a chance of a shower this morning, but the humidity is off the charts. Feels like the Gulf Coast here these days. So hydrate yourself. Also hot. Congratulations. You know, Texas is in. They're going to host the Super Regional. Texas Tech will host Stanford this weekend. And congratulations to Coach Dan Heefner and the Patriots of Dallas Baptist as they won the Fort Worth Regional. And, you know, after Jim Schlossnagel, the coach of TCU over the weekend after they lost to DBU, said, you know what, that they are an Omaha program that just haven't gotten there yet. And if you look at what they've done there, pretty impressive. He's been there since 2008 and has built a monster. They've won 40 or more games on 9 occasions. They've been to a Super Regional 11. They're in the tournament every year. And now, because of the winning this Fort Worth Regional, they've got a chance to get to Omaha for the first time. And it's a ball club that can. Congratulations to DBU. Hot on that.
Very nice.
Very nice. And I know you're hot on the kid Keelan Robinson, the running back that came in from Alabama.
Hot.
I know you got to watch some film of him yesterday. Zay, have you watched Keelan Robinson, the transfer running back? Bucky likes him.
I have not. Not yet.
Need to. Yeah, remember, he played 9 games as a freshman.
Yeah, watch him, Zay. You'll see that he's not far off from what you have as a starter here. If he plays at Alabama, believe me, he's good. He plays big for a little guy, but he's got all the quickness and the inside running ability. And I mean, that guy was good out of high school. You could tell he was good out of high school.
Well, he's Alabama good.
Okay, that's good. That's pretty damn good. He's Alabama good for sure, because you only got about 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 of those guys in the backfield, and that's the way Texas will get to the point where guys have to leave at the running back position.
Well, look, clearly Steve Sarkisian looked at his roster and said, we need help at linebacker, we need a couple corners, and they brought those in the transfer. And we need more weapons. We need more weapons. And whether we consider him a running back or not, the one thing you saw from Keelan Robinson, remember before he opted out this year, they were going to use him as a kickoff returner at Alabama. And that goes to speed. And a guy who can catch the football. His receiving skills are very good. So you can anticipate that Steve Sarkisian will use him in a lot of creative ways in the backfield and out of the backfield. Isaiah Collier, what are you having hot or not, my friend?
Thanks, E. So last week, E, you missed this hot or not. I told the situation with the porn star who helped the VCU baseball team. Well, she claimed she helped the VCU baseball team because they won 20 straight until they lost in regionals this weekend to Campbell. And this has to do with another porn star.
What?
Who went out with one of the Brooklyn Nets, who brought another date with them to this date. So porn star Lana Rhodes went on some podcast where she told about she went out on a date and that basketball player brought another girl with them. She didn't say the name, but she said his birthday, he's a Libra. And if you go look at the Nets roster and see the birthdays, Kevin Durant was born September 29th.
Come on, Pac-Man. Let's not go to that depth. Please. Please, Mr. Pac-Man, don't do that.
He's been real efficient lately.
That he has.
KD?
Yes, oh, yeah.
Dude, KD is smooth as ever. The Slim Reaper has been just killing him, killing the Bucks, man. Getting his points at will. Now, is it, you're saying there's been a benefit from some extracurricular activity, what we're arguing here?
I'm saying, hey, little menage a trois ain't hurt nobody.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying. Yeah, whatever it takes to... Kevin's still a single guy, isn't he?
Wasn't he dating the singer?
Which one?
Adele.
Adele. They went out a couple times, I think.
Until he wore his backpack, and she said, out of here. Out of here with the backpack, please.
Why are you still killing him for that? He came here as like a 17-year-old college kid. He had a backpack, and you've never...
Visually in my mind,
was wearing the backpack in the league too. Those first few years at OKC, he tried to do the backpack thing.
He got rid of that though, didn't he?
Yeah,
he
did get rid of that. You're a grown ass man. You gotta get rid of that.
You can't have that backpack with you.
Yeah, but you gotta remember, he's 19. He's one and done here, so he's a kid.
Yeah, it wasn't like he was here 4 years running around with a backpack.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm sure according to Rick Barnes, he used to keep a bunch of candy in the backpack, and that was one of the things. He had all kinds of junk food in there.
I like candy. I'm a Twizzlers fan.
Yeah. Well, so that's what he'd do. He put his candy in there. Yeah. But no, Kevin Durant's now a grown up, and do what he wants.
Yeah, and if he wants 2-for-1, he can. That's his prerogative.
If he can make it happen, make it happen.
I'm going to tell his mom. Who am I to judge? I'll tell his mom. Better get his ass kicked if I call his mom up and say, hey, he's twajing it. I guarantee.
Twaj. Is that in the Urban Dictionary, twaj?
I guarantee you I'll call his mother, and she will not be down with that kind of deal right there. Let's call Katie's mom and say, hey, just reporting. Just could be a report that your son is out twajing around. I guarantee she'll put a stop to that. Because he's not making any move with any women seriously until he talks to mama, correct?
Oh, yeah. He loves his mom. She's the real MVP.
Okay.
He ain't asking her about that.
Yeah.
There is no way.
That's on the side?
That's on the down low.
Okay.
Bro.
Okay.
No. But you know what? He might just win an NBA title this year the way they're playing. And they're unstoppable on offense right now. Steve Nash doing a good job. Being creative with their offense. We'll talk more about that. They destroyed the Bucks last night. Also, Phoenix gets the early jump on the Nuggets in that playoff series. Also, Texas baseball. We know who they're playing now this weekend. We know when they're playing this weekend for a trip to Omaha. Details coming live, local, and digital streaming on the Horn app and always at hornfm.com.